I do see myself today more as a builder than a designer or design engineer. I'm just a person that enjoys building products, building software. And it really doesn't matter if the medium that I'm using today right now is Figma or code, because everything that I'm caring about is what's going to be in production and what people will experience. You need to care as much about the implementation as you do with your static files. And I think the designers that are understanding that are starting to have a huge advantage in the market.
Welcome to Dive Club. My name is Rid, and this is where designers never stop learning. Now, for those of you that didn't know, I spent almost 2 years helping my friend MDS on his visual design course called Shift Nudge. And at one point, I slacked him just because I had to show him this person's work because it was so, so good. And that designer is Mariana Castillo. Now, since that point, she has been on an absolute incredible trajectory, working at companies like Universe, designing V0 at Vercel, and it feels like her designs are always blowing up on Twitter. So this conversation gets into the weeds of craft. And one of my favorite parts is hearing about Mariana's journey learning how to code and the impact that that's had on her career. So let's start this conversation by hearing about her new role, because she recently left Vercel to join a startup called Pierre as a staff designer.
I've always wanted to try to build something from ground up, really, and navigate through this more experimental surface and experimental process, defining together the core aspects of the product, the core aspects of UI, branding, how the landing page should look like. That's pretty different from the moment that Vercel was. I feel like Vercel has already a very clear vision for the product, for the brand, for the UI, very like solid design system. So I feel like I went from a very like solid and well-structured environment when it comes to design and interfaces to a really like nothing set in stone, everything's on the plate and we're defining things as we go, space that's Pierre.
So I was scrolling Twitter the other day and Fonzman's posted a card animation that I think I watched like 10 times consecutively. And it wasn't just because the visuals were great. It was because he used Jitter's new audio feature. Man, it's incredible how one simple feature can unlock so many new use cases and creative opportunities. You can do sound effects like Fonz did, or add voiceovers or background music. Audio is such a powerful way to level up your storytelling and bring life and emotion to your designs. And you can start using the feature today. Just head to dive.club/jitter. That's J-I-T-T-E-R. Okay, now on to the episode. What are some of the ways that you're being challenged and stretched as kind of the only full-time designer, especially coming from more of a robust team like Vercel?
I feel like in Vercel, because we had, as I said, a pretty solid and consistent design system, much more designers in place, very solid division for the UI, for the brand, for the product, I feel that was easier, and the intuition behind what we should build and why was more evident. And now it's really uncharted territory, and there is still a lot to define and a lot to think, even because what we're trying to build, it's basically a new collaborative surface for engineering teams to build stuff together. We are really reinventing a lot of paradigms that other products have, and we feel that they are kind of outdated. So we're really trying to bring something new to the space, and it's definitely not easy. So I feel that it's been harder, it's been more challenging in the sense of what we should build and why we should build and how we should build and how this experience should feel. Not that the challenges at Vercel were not hard. And when I was working in Vercel, I was working in the AI team, which is also a very new space, a lot of uncharted territory as well. But I feel like all this tooling around the UI and around the brand helped a lot, speeding up the process and making some design decisions more easy to make than now.
Okay, so let's zoom out just a little bit and talk about the dev tools space more broadly, because something that you said to me was that you wanted to be an expert designer in this space. So can you talk a little bit about what that means to you? Like, are there specific boxes that you think designers have to check if they're going to be top of the game at a company like Vercel or Pierre or people who are catering towards developers?
I love this space because I genuinely enjoy building things that empower people to build their own work and to do their best work. To me, the most challenging thing is really to translate sometimes overwhelming flows and complex tasks and operations into simple and delightful experiences, which at this point I think is kind of a cliche, but it's really true. And as I was talking about Pierre, for instance, we are really trying to reinvent and rethink in a lot of ways how people and how engineering teams build products. So this really requires taking a lot of complex operations like pushing code to a branch and collaborating in a branch with other people from a team and getting approvals and getting reviews. So everything around this process can be really complex. And to me, the beauty of this space is really making things that are really complicated and not super appealing sometimes and can be really overwhelming, and building a beautiful UI and a simple flow and really making things more easy to digest in a certain aspect. It's not super often that you have the opportunity that, as I did in Vercel and now in Pierre, to work in the company to build the company itself. So in Vercel, we're using Vercel to build Vercel, and in Pierre, we actually use Pierre to build Pierre. That's fantastic. And that's a huge asset for designers working on this space to really go to the next level, in my opinion, of course, because the feedback loop and how you refine and craft your intuition about the product and the features and the designs and the UI, it's so much clearer because you're using it every day. So it's much easier to have this intuition of like, what do I have to build? Why do I have to build? Which features are we missing? Or like, what we shouldn't build? Which is the direction that we shouldn't go? So, and this is something that Vercel taught me a lot on how to reincorporate this feedback, not only from like my own feedback about what I was building, but also my teammates' feedback and stakeholders' feedback, because everyone was using Vercel while we were building all these features.
For people not in the space, when we look at dev tools and all the different products that exist there, it's really clear that the bar for craft is exceptionally high. And so I'd like to learn a little bit more about how that bar shows up in the way that you work and collaborate and review your different designs and collaborate with engineers. What does it take for a company like Vercel to consistently hit that bar for craft?
I wish I could bring some silver bullets or an incredible advice of people on how to get there, but it's really creating a team that deeply care about the experience and good design. Because then what I feel is that we help each other level up and we help each other refine even more our crafts and our skills. Gathering a group of designers that really care, of course, about the experience, but also about design process itself and about how the designs are implemented, which is also key. I feel like sometimes we're working teams that have great designers, that have a great taste and a great vision for design, but they lack this translation between the static files, like the Figma files or the sketch files or whatever, like the static designs to the implementation. And a lot of things get lost in translation there. A lot of delightful parts of an implementation, a lot of, you know, like tiny details that really make the difference when it comes to high polished design. So I think the second thing is that this group of people that deeply care about the experience, they also deeply care about the implementation, and often they have a good intuition and a good sensibility about the implementation. Often they know how to code. So this is also crucial and kind of a pattern that I've been observing in companies that are recognized by having like a really high level of design and UI in general.
What does it look like to deeply care about implementation? Like if there are two designers with relatively similar project goals and outputs, what would make you say, wow, that person really sweat the details and cared about how this was going to be implemented?
To me, the designer that really cares about implementation designs with implementation in mind in the first place. So every pixel that you're moving around and every frame that you're putting on the canvas, you're automatically translating in your head on how this is actually going to be built in code. So these static files are like just a different abstraction, but you're actually thinking in code at the same time. It's kind of weird, but that's what I've started to observe in all myself more and more, and other people that I've been working with as well. I don't think there is right now, at least to me, a design process and then an engineering process. I feel like everything is kind of mixed in between, because while I'm designing, I'm thinking about in code as well. And I'm also pairing potentially some engineers and showing them my designs and saying, hey, I thought about implementing like this and like that. And I thought about that the implementation could look a little bit more in that direction. What do you think? And so They are also participating in the process very early, which is a secondary part that I think it's really important. So yeah, to me, really designers that really care about implementation, they design thinking about code, which is kind of crazy, but that's kind of what I do like in my design practice as well.
I've seen some people talk about this idea that if designers only design what they are capable of understanding in code, it can actually limit the threshold for creativity. Is that something that you feel like you deal with, or do you have a take on that?
I think the opposite, really. I think it pushes me further to learn more about code, because if I have a design idea that I'm not really sure how I should translate to code, what I'll do is really learn if that's possible, and if it's possible, like, how I should build it. So I really don't think it's limiting. I think it's more encouraging to learn and to push myself further and learn more about UI engineering, really.
Okay, so then let's talk about that part of your journey a little bit. Because when I first met you, it was in ShiftNudge, and you were like this awesome visual designer, but you weren't really like building things yet. And now you're kind of taking over Twitter with UI Labs and all these awesome experiments that you're doing. So can you talk a little bit about your journey transitioning from more of a pure designer to more of a builder?
I think the starting point of my coding journey was really that I deeply understood how building my own work would be important and a crucial part of my creative process as a designer. And I think it started with a frustration of creating designs that I was really like fond of, and I was really excited to see them materialized and actually like being used by other people. And I didn't know how to build them, so it was becoming frustrating to myself. Or the other direction, I was like working and I was like handing over these designs to the engineering team. And because I didn't speak the same language, I didn't know how to communicate how I wanted to be built, and I couldn't participate in the building process neither. So my designs were being built in a way that was not exactly how I envisioned them in the first place. So this was also really frustrating. And I feel like a lot of designers already like felt that frustration. And I feel that's really on us. So I feel like sometimes it's just us that don't speak the same language as the engineering and don't really know how to hand off properly so they can actually build our vision. But basically it was becoming really frustrating to myself. And I tried to learn how to code actually, like, I think 2 or 3 times before actually making it. And it's overwhelming. And I know that's for a lot of designers, I guess it can be a really overwhelming process because there are so many pieces involved. You need to learn HTML and CSS and then JavaScript and then potentially React and then Next.js and then Framer Motion, like accessibility. So like there's so many pieces of this puzzle that it's really overwhelming. And I tried, I guess, 2 times. I started with like HTML and CSS and then JavaScript, and then it just becomes so much and I gave up. And I think what was really like the moment that I had a click was that I'm talking of myself, like I have these, like, I don't know, characteristic that everything that I do, I want to master before I fully commit into actually like putting out of the door and building stuff. So I felt obligated to like, I need to master HTML and CSS and JavaScript and React and Next.js before I feel entitled to build something and put out there. And this moment was never arriving because it's insanely hard to work on a full-time job and like commit your free time to learn all of this stuff and, you know, like feel that you're mastering so many topics that are really hard to grasp. So in these first 2 attempts, I was trying to master them, and because obviously I was feeling that I was not an expert as I wanted to be, I was just giving up. And I feel like the 3rd time that it actually worked, it was when I just work in the opposite direction. Like instead of trying to search for mastery to build things and put out the door, I was just like building things with the knowledge that I had at the time, putting out of the door and then progressively moving towards mastery, which I'm not saying that I'm a master. Obviously, I still have a lot to learn, but today I feel much more confident than 1 year, 2 years ago. That's for sure. And I feel like that was a moment that changed everything. And that's really how I approach learning and coding today. There's obviously a lot of things that I want to build, and I have these designs ideas that they, instead of limiting me, they just push me harder to learn new stuff. And I keep adding tools and skills to my like coding tool belt. But it was not easy. It took a lot of time. a lot of like weekends. So yeah, I feel like sometimes when people talk about their own design and coding journey, it sounds super easy. But yeah, to me at least was super, super hard and took me a lot of time to start to feel confident in my skills and start to feel proud of the things that I was, yeah, sharing with everyone else.
Your story really resonates with me because mine's kind of similar. Like, I failed miserably the first two times that I tried to learn to code. Like, it was just so demoralizing. And I think my hindsight perspective is now that the first couple times I was learning just to learn. Like, I was following some kind of a journey or curriculum, and it's hard and demotivating to do it that way. Where the third time it was like, no, I really just wanted to build this project and I was just going to learn whatever I needed to learn in order to take the next step of bringing this project to life. And like being able to work backwards from actually building something rather than just progressing through the next rung and the next rung and the next rung really, really makes a difference.
Yeah. And that was really the mind shift that like happened to me that changed everything. Because when you're in this like tutorial and course hell that you're just like moving from course to course and from tutorial to tutorial, and it's really hard to make sense of all this stuff and it's just like in the theory. Instead, yeah, I would definitely recommend like doing the other way around. Just like start building something with the knowledge you have. Use your design skills if you have to push your coding skills further and to learn more and know what you need to learn. And yeah, just build stuff, really. That's really the best way to learn.
How much has AI played a role in this latest attempt at learning how to code?
In my first two attempts, I think we didn't have like any AI stuff around. Yeah, I think so. And now in the third one, I feel like it was starting slowly. In the beginning, it didn't play a huge part, to be honest, because yeah, like all these tools like GPT and Cursor and everything else was like, it didn't exist for just getting started. But today it's a great part of my coding process, to be honest. And I think it's extremely helpful for people that are starting to learn right now and not to be, you know, like just give the prompt and copy and paste the code. What I think it's more useful, more productive is to use these like AI tooling as a companion to pair. And if there is a part of the code that you're not understanding, just ask GPT and tell it to explain to you. And, you know, like just to have something to pair with and explain you things and ask you and answer your questions instead of just like prompting all the code and you just copy and paste, because then at least to me, it's not super productive.
Okay, so I want to define what it means to learn to code a little bit for designers, because I think that we say this phrase like, yeah, the time I learned to code, it's like learning to code is almost an endless journey. You can literally go in every direction forever. And I think that something that's a little bit unclear for designers who maybe have a interest in learning to code, but they don't actually really know how far to go. So can we talk a little bit about like, where actually are you at in your ability to code? Where is that line where it's like, yeah, I can contribute here, but I actually don't really know anything about X, Y, Z, and it doesn't really matter. I can still make a big impact in my role.
That's a great question. I've got to a point that I can collaborate to like big code bases and with an actual engineering team as if I am one of the other engineering. So in PR, for instance, I build a lot of stuff and I push to production normally. I navigate through the code base as every other engineer in the team. So yeah, I feel that I'm much closer now to have all the skills needed to actively collaborate to the product as an engineering could do. But I feel like for people that are getting started, they really need to think about what's important for them right now. If it's important for them and it would be sufficient to prototype and to build just like a code pen prototype and share with the team about their ideas for a component. Or if it's more important really to understand other frameworks like Next.js and routing and really think about how the application flow works and collaborates into an actual like production level product, if I can put it like this. So answering your question, defining the moment like, oh, now I know how to code. I think it really depends what are your goals. For some designers, might be perfectly fine to build these prototypes with like HTML and CSS and a little bit of JavaScript and share with their team. And wow, now we can understand your vision for this interface. And that's sufficient, and that's already great. To me personally, I really wanted to reach this level where I can collaborate actively into the code base with the engineering team, writing production level code, which has other specificities and yeah, other things that you need to care about. So it really depends. So for sure, to arrive to this moment where you can collaborate to like larger code bases, it takes more time, it takes other skills. But for sure, if you just want to communicate some prototypes, you can get to that much faster. And that for you might be, okay, now I learn how to code. And that's perfectly fine.
What level of complexity are you contributing to the code base at? Like, are you just front of the front end, or are you actually getting into hooks, or are you dealing with routing? Like, where is your kind of sweet spot as someone who technically is a designer but is working in code?
Depends on what I'm building and the feature. But most likely how it happens in PR is that I'll get already a hook that delivers me the data that I need for to feed that specific interface. So I'll build the whole visual part of the interface and basically plug this hook, extract the data and basically wire in the component. Mm. And that's already sufficient because I don't need to care about like how the data has been fetched and all like the fetching part. I would say that's something that I don't really do today, although I had done in some personal projects in the past, but that's not where I want to specialize myself. And I think that's also a good point to mention because it's like coding universe is so big and there's so much stuff that you can learn. To me, it was important to understand what are the things that I want to learn and some other things that might be interesting to learn, but I don't want to specialize on that. So to me, I'm trying to specialize more in the UI part. So in theory, getting the data already fetched and basically wiring the component that I will build in the data that's being fetched through a hooker. Anyways, but I think it's also important to consider and scope clearly what you want to do and what you need to learn to get there. Because yeah, just to avoid like spending time with things that, okay, that's interesting to know in a high level, but I don't want to specialize on that.
Okay. I really appreciate that clarity because I think it is kind of unclear, like how far do I need to push it? If I want to contribute to a production code base, I have this picture of like a swimming pool, like a backyard swimming pool in my head. And it's like a couple steps into the shallow end. It's like first step's HTML, second step is CSS. And then there's like, you know, the shallow just kind of slopes gradually. And it's all like the front end and the UI build. And then it's like, there's the really steep, just like drop off all of a sudden. And you start sliding into the deep end. That's where like the fetches and hooks kind of start to come in for me. So it makes sense that you're right on the other side of that line.
If you want to collaborate to production level code bases, I would say that if your project is using React, you need to learn how to manage states and what hooks are and yeah, some key concepts around React and obviously JavaScript. But in my case, for instance, I don't need to care a lot right now about the data fetching and the caching and the routing. So that's great for me because then I have more time to specialize in actually building the UI.
Cool. So as someone who's living in code and design, can you talk a little bit about when you're operating in an editor versus when you're in Figma?
I was thinking about that today, actually. TLDR, it depends. I'm seeing myself more and more not even opening Figma for some type of tasks. For instance, when it's an existing component that I want to polish or refine or add something on that component, or it's a fairly straightforward interface, 99% of the time I don't even open Figma anymore, just like jump into code and build because I know very clearly and I have the vision of what I want to build. So I just like build, I push a branch and I share with the team and hey guys, what do you think about it? It's much easier to get feedback. But when it's something that's more on the visual side, for instance, empty states or like feature sections, something that feels more complicated or more uncertain about the visual direction, I want to experiment more, I go to Figma because at least myself, I'm much faster to iterate on Figma than in code. So answering your question, when I am pretty confident about the direction that I want to take, usually I just jump into code because then I can share the branch with the team, share the preview and just get the feedback on the actual like working thing. But if it's something that I know that I'll need like multiple iterations and to experiment with a lot of more like visual stuff, I usually go to Figma because to me it's just like faster, really.
Can you talk a little bit about what it's like working at Pierre, where the visual language is a little bit more in flux than it was at Vercel, where there's like this really polished design system and everything's defined? As you're creating all this UI and exploring what the visual language even can become, how are you thinking about the right level of systemization of these components and styles and effects and everything?
In Vercel, because all the design system and the UI itself was much more structured, so like there is no like groundbreaking changes in our models or in our footers on any other component. We had in place Geist, which is Vercel's design system, which was really super easy to use because you just need to import the component and it's there. And that's what I mentioned before, that I think in some aspects much easier to iterate in an environment like this much faster because you can just import some components, or even in Figma, you can just like import the library and just like play around with the components and get at least to an initial version of a page or a feature that you are designing. While in Pierre, we do have a design system in place that Mark put together and it's great, but it's still evolving, it's still changing. So really often we need to pause and rethink some of the design decisions that we made and how we build certain components. I would say that it's useful, at least was useful in Pierre, to componentize part of the products, like the buttons and some more like low-level primitives. It helps speed things up, but I would say that for more complex components, we are not yet componentizing and not really thinking about that because we know that they're going to change. So now we have a status indicator that tells when people are online and offline in your team. Like we know that we have a first version in place, but I'm really like confident that this will change at some point, like in the near future. So we won't spend time componentizing that. So I feel like in this more like organic and fluid space that we are living in Pierre right now, I at least wouldn't spend a lot of time componentizing everything because everything will likely change. While in a place like Vercel, that the direction is very well defined and it's really worth it because it makes a lot of the iterations much faster. So it's a trade-off.
You talked a little bit about what it's like to think through the implementation details as you're designing. Are there other ways that this new knowledge and understanding of front end have shaped the way that you are operating when you're just functioning as a pure designer inside of Figma?
Another part that being able to build my own work has really collaborated to like the quality of my work and how I think about my work is in the feedback collection process, especially considering internal feedback. So in PR, for instance, most often I'll just build my work, I'll push a branch, I'll get a preview and I'll share with the team. And I feel like the feedback that comes from the actual living component or the living page and the interface is so much richer than just static files because then people can play around, they can click, they can see how the transitions are feeling, if there is animation, how the animations are feeling. And it becomes less abstract and more straightforward. While even if I'm building a Figma prototype, which I think an amazing tool, there's always something that gets lost in translation between like the best Figma prototype ever and the actual living component. I don't know how to explain, but there's something that it doesn't really feel the same. So to be able to actually build the work, share with the team and get feedback on the implementation, I feel like the quality of the feedback is much, much richer and much, much more detailed than what I was getting before when just sharing static files. So I would say that the feedback process when working with teams that have the sensibilities is also much richer.
Okay, I have a couple of industry sentiments that I'm noticing, and I'd like to get your thoughts on both of them. How's that sound?
Okay, let's go.
Okay. So the first one is this idea that more and more designers are going to become design engineers, but that actually that's just a short-run role. And eventually, design engineers are just going to become the new designers. So, what are your thoughts on that narrative? And how does it align with the way that you see your own role evolving in the future?
I feel like I'm pretty much aligned with that. Again, I don't say that this should be a rule for every software designer. I feel like you do you, honestly. But to me, I guess I'm in this hybrid moment where a lot of people, like on Twitter, for instance, refer to me as software designer, but a lot of other people refer to me as design engineer. And as time goes by, more and more and more people start to call me design engineer, even though I never self-proclaimed I was a design engineer, but because I know how to code and I know how to build stuff. And I'm not sure if you remember, not that long ago, like the hot take on Twitter was like, should designers code? And this was like, wow. Polemic, we'd have like a lot of strong opinions and a lot of people that thought that designers shouldn't code. And I feel like this discussion now is like outdated. And I feel that there are clear benefits of designers that know how to code, not only for designer, for the company, for the industry, for everyone. So I do feel that this design engineering new hype is kind of like a transition between the old ways of doing things and a potential new way of doing things. I do feel that designers that are interested in refining their coding skills and this sensibility about implementation are going to have a huge advantage in the market. At least that's what I'm seeing. And yeah, at some point, it won't really matter what's the medium that you're using, if it's Figma or code. What's really gonna matter is the product, the application, because honestly, like no one cares about the Figma files. Like you can have the most amazing, stunning, well-designed, polished Figma file, but if it's not properly translated into code, no one will experience that. So it doesn't really matter. You need to care as much about implementation as you do with your static files. And I think the designers that are understanding that are starting to have a huge advantage in the market because their designs are more and more and more sensitive to how the implementation will build. And therefore, they are much, much more polished, I guess, and much, much more thoughtful when it comes to the experiment itself. So answering your question, I personally agree with that. I feel that this design engineering trend is kind of like a moment of transition between old world and a new world. And I do see myself today more as a builder than a designer or design engineering. I'm just a person that enjoys building products, building software. And it really doesn't matter if the medium that I'm using today, right now, is Figma or code, because everything that I'm caring about is what's going to be in production and what people will experience. That naturally leads me to think that, yeah, if I want to get there, I really need to learn how to code and to implement my own work. So I feel like it's a natural progression of the industry, and yeah, I'm really here for it.
Okay, so the second little narrative that I'm noticing is, people pointing at all of the other things that designers have to do, managing stakeholders, running reviews, facilitating workshops, giving presentations. And I've noticed a sentiment where basically saying that, if designers become builders, then too much of that, traditional UX role will get lost. What do you think about that?
I don't think that traditional UX work will be lost, but rather will be transformed into something else and will adapt to a new reality, maybe. I know that there are still some companies like UX designer and need to manage all these like research process, which parentheses, I do think it's important. But the way I see things is that the industry is changing and designers are changing and obviously, methodologies will change as well. So I personally don't think that we should think about the design process as we did like 5 or 10 years ago. Like there's a new ways of doing things. Like AI is empowering us to think in different ways and to learn faster and to build faster. The dev tools space is expanding with companies like Vercel and Peer that are also empowering people to share their work and build their work faster and easier. So I feel like the tech industry moving into a direction that is easier and easier for people to build their work and build their startups and share and learn about code. And yeah, like the entry barrier is so much lower that I don't see that as a different way or a way that says that everything that we did in the past was wrong. I feel like it was right for the moment in time, but I feel like now things are changing and I feel like all these methodologies are being transformed into something else. So.
I like how you phrase that. And I do think it's important to call out the fact that, like, you're working at like really cutting edge tech companies, right? Like, you are at the bleeding edge of the industry in so many ways, where there will always be, multiple other tiers of companies that are a little bit more lagging and slightly slower to adopt. But it is interesting. Like, I was asking myself the other day, like, would I actually take a role that was called UX designer? Like, would I even consider it? I don't know about you. The answer is like definitely not.
Yeah, personally, I wouldn't either consider a UX designer role that would require me to run like a structured research methodology and will limit myself in the way that I can create. And that's more how I see it. I don't want to be limited in how I can expand my creative process and blending design and code and being a builder and building stuff and sharing like projects in public. So I feel like naturally this brings me more closer to companies like Pierre and Vercel that empower people to do exactly that.
I want to take a hard left turn and talk about your career journey a little bit. Because from my outside perspective, like, your trajectory has been unlike almost anyone else that I've seen in the industry. I mean, it was just a few years ago that you were in your first full-time, like, product designer role, right?
Yeah.
And now you're like, you've worked at Universe and Vercel and have this amazing opportunity at Pierre. What do you think designers listening who want to kind of break into these types of more innovative companies, what do you think that they can learn from your journey and how you've been able to land some of these really interesting opportunities and get connected with these types of companies?
I feel the first answer, the most obvious one, is share your work. That's how Vercel found me, and that's how I landed on Pierre as well, being active on Twitter, sharing my work. And I've been sharing my work for a while now, since the beginning. And sometimes I look at the work I was sharing like 1 year, 2 years ago, and it's like, oh my God, that's terrible. But I feel like that's actually a great sign that like
Great sign.
I'm evolving. And my skills are sharper, at least I like to believe so. So the first thing is share work for sure. That's the best way to get connected with people from these companies or any other company that you admire. And the second thing that to me is really important is to really meditate on design. And I've shared this advice before, but that's really the best advice and something that I do every single day. I'm really passionate about what I do. I'm really passionate about building software. And I'm constantly asking myself what makes good software and what makes good design. So there is a new like landing page being shared on Twitter and everyone's like freaking out. It's amazing. And indeed, it's amazing. I feel like my first instinct is just to stop and think why this work is amazing. Like what makes this work amazing? Why it's so different from every other thing that other people have been sharing before? I feel like this meditation around design and asking yourself, how do you define good design? Which is a really hard question. Don't even ask me this question because I'll struggle to answer. I feel like I'm still learning every day how to identify good design. And I feel like these two things together, meditating on design and practicing every day, refining your practice and sharing your work are really the two key things that I did that connected me to Vercel and then connected me to Pierre and eventually to so many great people in the industry like yourself that, yeah, I met throughout social media, sharing my work and giving my opinions on design. So I feel like it's intimidating. Often we are afraid of what people think of our work and nasty comments and backlash. But from my experiences, there's so much more positive things that you can get from sharing your stuff than negative. That's for me, the trade-off, it's a clear win.
And it's something that you've continued even into Pierre. Like, I made a mental note. I was like, wow, she's been there for like 2 weeks and she's already sharing a dashboard design and it looks amazing. And I saved it to my Notion database.
Yeah, and I'm sure that like in 6 months I'll look at this and I'll say, oh my God, I hate it. So, and that's great. Like I feel like that's the right progression, right? The best thing ever is to look at your own work and hated in the sense that you know that you could do so much better today because that's the clear indicator that you're evolving your practice. So, yeah.
Hey guys, real quick, if you know me, then you know I love products. So I want to take just 30 seconds to tell you about three of my favorites. Now, anytime that I'm designing and building a website, you better believe that I'm going to use Framer. I made the switch recently and I'm never going back. Now, once it's time to animate my designs and showcase my work, that's when I'm going to use Jitter. It's like Figma, only for motion design. And every step of the way, I'm going to be using Raycast constantly. It's the cornerstone of how I use my computer and the way that I stay in flow while I work. Now, I hand-selected Framer, Raycast, and Jitter to partner with me so that I could do these interviews full-time. So if you want to show them some love, it would mean a lot. Okay, now on to the rest of the episode. I know this is a difficult question, but I'm wondering if there are things that you have noticed, or when you look back on old work, if there are clear ways that you feel like you have sharpened your skills. Like for me personally, when I look at some of my work from a few years ago, there are nuances in the way that I'm thinking about like color contrast, where I'm like, oh gosh, like that wasn't great. Is there anything like that for you where over the last few years, you're like, I've definitely accelerated my abilities in this area or that area?
Where I see that I progress a lot is on the details. Like sometimes like 2 pixels right, 2 pixels left. And it's really having these granular level of refinement and taste and understanding that every pixel matters. That's really what I try to polish and I try to improve every single day. And that's the biggest difference that I see from my work today and from my work 1 or 2 years ago. I felt like 2 years ago, I had less sensibility for this type of details, how to create elegant, simple, but well polished interfaces, in the sense that all the details seem to build up into an amazing UI, if that makes sense. Not sure if you ever experienced that before. And that's something that I continue to push forward, and how I see my design skills change the most, like really understanding the fundamentals, like the bare bones of design, like spacing, typography, colors, texture, you name it. I feel like if you improve these like design primitives, these fundamentals, the overall feeling of your design as a whole will improve like dramatically. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree. It's like you almost assume that the way that you would grow later in your career is by adopting all of these new skills that you're not even capable of thinking of earlier in your career. But like, actually, it's literally just becoming much more skilled and proficient in the basics of like typography, yeah, and layout and spacing.
Honestly, yes. I feel that a lot of people think they need to master like crazy shadows and textures, and that's great. I'm not telling that's wrong, or it can produce great design. But to me, getting better in the basics is really the key way of getting better in design, because this is like the backbones of design. So improving, yeah, your typography intuition, your space intuition, color intuition, like everything automatically will become much, much better.
Can you tell us a little bit about your journey with UI Labs and some of those experiments that you've been creating and these components you're building? Like kind of why, like what is the underlying reason that you're investing time in making these experiments, and what are some of the ways that that's impacted your journey?
I started UI Labs first place because I wanted to learn web animation. That was the simple reason. And then I started to do some exercise alone and like some projects without like sharing with no one. And I shared with some people that I trust, and they're like, oh, that's really cool. You should post it. You should share with other people. And then I built UI Labs and I started to share these components, and it was super well received. And actually this just emphasizes my point before, that just like share your work. And a lot of the things there, they're very experimental. And even though I put there like very clearly, like it's called UI Labs and like it's a very, very experimental place to share my ideas and some like UI animations, there's always someone that said, oh no, that's not gonna work in production like this. And it's like, yeah, because it's experimental. So like there's always gonna be people that are gonna say, no, you should have done this or that. But honestly, like after I shared UI Labs, I got connected with so many great people in the space. And yeah, honestly, it was a project that I want to go back to it at some point. It was a fun project really to learn and really to push my coding journey further.
Well, I know the other thing that you got going on right now is the UI engineering course. So before I let you go, can you tell us a little bit about what that is, who's it for, maybe what people can expect to get out of it?
Yeah, for sure. Derek Briggs from Clerk and I, we created this course called UI Engineering 101 for Designers. And I feel that what we wanted to create was really this learning space that I missed when I was starting, especially because of everything we're talking about. Like, this coding and engineering space is so big and so overwhelming, and it's really hard to know from where you need to start and what you need to learn and where you can tell other people that you know how to code. So we really craft this course focused specifically more on designers, but for some engineers as well that want to learn more about visual techniques, but specifically for designers that want to build high quality components, basically using HTML and CSS. And this choice was also very intentional. We didn't want to become like super overwhelming in a huge course of, you know, like 16 weeks of like trying to master everything around everything related to UI engineering, because it's just too much. So we really narrowed down to the very essentials that we believe designers could benefit from learning, and that will enable people to actually build interesting and visual polished UI components. So we are just finishing the first cohort and the feedback's been great. So we're really happy about that. But that's really the idea, like giving a starting point for designers that basically don't know from where to start. The idea is really not to say to people that, hey, after you finish this course, you master UI engineering and you learn everything that you need to learn. Because that's absolutely not true. Like, I don't know everything that I need to learn. I'm still learning every day. But instead, I think our idea is to give a solid starting point and to a guideline for designers that are interested in this UI engineering role.
Okay, so I'm so excited about this course and the opportunity to learn from Ariana and Derek that I actually enrolled in the second cohort myself. So I asked Mariana for a Dive Club discount so that we could all learn alongside each other, and she said yes. So head to dive.club/code to get $200 off, and I hope to see you in there. Okay. Back to the episode. I love the emphasis on starting point, because even tying it back to our discussion earlier about AI, like if you don't have that kernel of technical know-how, I mean, yeah, AI can be helpful, but it just really caps the level of output and your ability to even spar with AI. But if you have just like a kernel of technical knowledge and ability, all of a sudden AI can 10x that in certain ways. And so like just giving more designers that seed is so, so, so powerful. Really excited about what you're doing.
Yeah, and that's exactly the idea, is really to give people confidence that, okay, I feel empowered now, I can build some cool stuff, and I feel more encouraged to like progressive learn more about all this other stuff that I need to learn. Because it's not easy, right? I feel like there's a lot of courses that, I don't know, like UI engineering from zero to a ninja, you know, like that aims to teach you a lot of stuff and everything that I need to learn. And I feel that's great, and I've done some of them, and there's a lot of great content, but it's so overwhelming to feel that you need to learn from zero to ninja in like a time span of like 2 months. I feel like, to me at least, when I was starting, I would rather have this seed and this like solid starting point and feel like empowered to continue and progressive learn more than to attempt to learn everything at once, because then it really can be overwhelming.
Well, Mariana, thank you for coming on today and sharing a little bit. I love just kind of hearing your journey. And I think there's so many people listening that have like aspirations of considering themselves a little bit more of like a builder type. And so just hearing from you in specifics about what it's been like, what it unlocks for you and your career is really awesome to see. And anyone who's listening should follow Mariana on Twitter. We'll link her in the show notes. One of my favorite follows. All of her explorations are truly, truly wonderful. So thanks for taking the time today.
Of course. Thank you for inviting me.
Hey, it's Rid. Don't forget, if you want to go even deeper, each week I send an email out to over 10,000 designers with bonus resources and key takeaways from these conversations. So head to dive.club/email to sign up. Okay, I'll see you next week.